Welcome to Conversations in Equine Science. My name is Kate Acton and I'm joined by Nancy McLean, and this is the podcast where we take equine research and try and make it accessible to horse owners and enthusiasts alike. Remember that with each topic we discuss, it's important to get professional advice before implementing any of the strategies. On today's episode, Nancy and I are looking at a paper that's titled Emotion Recognition in Horses with Convolutional Neural Networks. And this is by Luis A. Carujo et al. And this is a, is this a 2021 paper, Nancy?
Yes,
2021. Yeah. And really interestingly, what they wanted to do in this paper was to create a usable AI system that could recognize emotions in horses. So creating intelligent systems capable of recognizing emotions is a difficult task, especially when looking at emotions in animals. This paper describes the process of designing a proof of concept system to recognize emotion in horses. And this system is formed by two elements. So there's a detector and a model. The detector is a fast region-based convolutional neural network, for those of you that are more tech inclined, and it detects horses in an image. Then the model is a convolutional neural network that predicts the emotion of those horses. So the first part has to be able to pick out the face of the horse, and then the second part will read that face. These two elements were trained with multiple images of horses until they achieved high accuracy in their tasks. So in total, 400 images of horses were collected and labeled to train both the detector and the model, and then 40 images were used to test the system to see how accurately it could detect the image and how accurately it could detect the emotion. Once the two components were validated, they were combined into a testable system that would detect equine emotions based on established behavioral ethograms, indicating emotional effect through the head, neck, ear, muzzle, and eye position. So in this case, it doesn't use the horse's body. It's just focusing in on the head to detect those emotions. And the system showed an accuracy of 80% on the validation set and 65% on the test set, demonstrating it is possible to predict emotions in animals using these AI or autonomous intelligence systems. Such a system has multiple applications, including further studies in the growing field of animal emotion, as well as in the veterinary field, to determine the physical welfare of horses or other livestock. So thank you, Nancy, for suggesting this paper this week. This was a really interesting read, and amazing that we're being able to use AI in this way. Although the one caveat is using an AI system like this, really you need a lot of images. So 400, while it seems like a lot, and it was very labor intensive for the researchers, it would benefit from having even more images over time to get it that bit more accurate.
Yes. And you know, I was thinking that too, Kate. I always enjoyed using that Epona Mine system, and that's an AI system that uses hundreds of thousands of images of the equine hoof and its angles and measurements, and they had so many neural networks, and each neural network helps that machine to learn and to recognize data and to recognize shapes. And so anyway, I thought that too, 400 was a good, I guess, when you're doing that, it's a lot to input.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the something like Epona Mind, they're using all the software images that farriers are putting into their systems. And over time, as people use it, that machine goes from just AI to machine learning and then to deep learning. And that's when those algorithms come into play. But I love this. You know how I am about high tech and able to download an app. And, you know, there's nothing I think that can replace horse experience, because I think back 30 years of being with horses and how little I knew in the beginning, yet I thought I knew a lot. And now after 30 years, how much I've learned. However, I feel like I don't know a lot, because the more you learn, it seems like the more you realize what you don't know.
Yeah.
I just think this would be excellent for people new in learning about horses, and even could be applied maybe to other livestock. If you're farming and you leave your farm in someone else's hands, you could have all that data on what's normal in storage for a particular animal, and they could use things like this to be able to tell them, call a vet. And so in doing that, I was looking in the Apple store or in the App Store for something similar to this. And I did find one, and Kate and I were talking before we started recording, that this is one called EPWA, and it's the Equine Pain and Welfare app. Now, they have it available in the Apple store. It's also available for Androids, and it does use the body and the facial feature. So the research we're discussing this week is mainly having an app that recognizes the grimace scale. Wouldn't you say that, Kate, that that's doing? So now you've got the availability of implementing this app that's for sale. I think you can use it for free, but then when you start to store your information, that's when the cost go up in using it. But I thought how neat it would be for people new in the industry that are wanting to learn the grimace scale. We know from just 400 images, it's 80% correct in the initial phase of downloading those photos. However, it's what, 65% effective, was it, Kate, on the test? So the 40 that they reserve for test. And, you know, the more images and the more neural networks you build, then that accuracy increases. And one of the statistics on the Epona Mind software was that their AI system has an error rate of 4%. And, you know, that's incredible. That's close to human standards. In fact, I do believe human standards are a little below that. So, but as we develop these types of application, I just wonder how many people will use them, because our industry tends to be so tradition-based and hands-on, and it's a little bit art, a little bit science. I just don't know how many people will want to invest the time in using them. What do you think, Kate? You think people will gravitate towards that?
I think eventually, like the more awareness there is about them and the easier it is to access them. But I think, so like, for example, the one, the EPWA, I think you had said, Nancy, that was Utrecht University that developed that. So the pain recognition part is the free part. You can, you know, put in images of your horse or your donkey in pain and get a measurement in 2 steps. If you wanted to keep that in a diary form, I think that's where you were saying you have to pay. And that app has a number of features as well. You could put in daily feeding regimes, exercise turnout, medical information, and things like that. So there are benefits to that. But from a welfare point of view, for them to have made the pain recognition free is absolutely brilliant. And Where I was thinking this is applicable is, first of all, like you said, people who are new to this, I think students would definitely jump on this. Like if they were studying veterinary or veterinary nursing or veterinary technician, and they're not familiar with horses. And we do have students that come in that, you know, they're more small animal inclined, or they're more livestock like cattle or sheep inclined, even though horses, as per this paper, are still considered livestock in the United States. So I would think that's an interesting thing too. They very much tread that line of companion animal and livestock and commodity, unfortunately, as well. So there's many aspects to it. But the idea I had where you could also use this really effectively, when you were talking about, Nancy, how over time and experience, like there's no real way to replicate that, I was also thinking about time or bond that's spent with a horse. So if you have bought in a new horse and you're still in that adjustment period and you're getting to know them, you know, you could still have a lot of experience, but you might misjudge their emotions. You don't fully understand their personality yet. You're still kind of building that bond. Again, that might be another area where you're like, are they off, or is this normal for them? You know, do they look quite right? And you could use the app to check for that. So I think that would be super useful for it.
That's a good point, Kate, because they also mentioned how a parallel neck sometimes indicates relaxation, but sometimes it can be pain.
Yeah.
Oh, and sometimes my horses, you know, they come in, they're tired in the evening, and they just go to their napping place and just, you know, their eyelids are half closed and they're taking a nap. They're not hungry. They just want to rest. But if you have a new horse, you may wonder, my God, what's up here? Are they feeling a little off, or should I be concerned? And the research paper really just recorded four emotions, and it was alarmed, annoyed, curious, and relaxed. So those were the actual emotions that they entered into the system to be able to validate those photos. So it's amazing. I think that's a good point, Kate. When you take on a new horse, whether you're a trainer or an owner, it would probably come in very handy. And the EPWA does have you video or observe that horse for 5 minutes. And then while you're in that video process with your iPhone or Android, it's constantly asking you questions to keep you engaged. So they know human nature. We are likely to shortchange that 5 minutes, because when I did that 10 minutes each side on the massage, that 10 minutes sometimes felt like an hour.
A lifetime.
So they even are putting a little bit of human behavior into this app by engaging us, so we don't get off task. We stay on task with inputting information. So I may have to download that and just kind of check it out and see, you know, how easy it is to use. And I think definitely maybe use it for a young horse too, that you're getting in for training and you don't quite know that horse yet. So a great point.
I think as well, like one of the things I notice with students is if they're not familiar with the species, they pick one cue and they look for that one cue. So like you mentioned, Nancy, with the parallel neck, if they're just looking at that, they're not taking other aspects into account, that can kind of hinder them. I sometimes have students who keep saying, like, you know, he keeps putting his ears back, but actually there's noise happening behind him and he's flicking his ears back, listening in to the noise. You know, it's a very different reaction versus if they were annoyed and their ears are pinned back or stiffly held back. Because with that, they also have that tense face, that tense muzzle, that ripple on their nostrils. It's all the finer details that we can lose out on when we're first learning, because it's a lot to remember if you're not familiar with the species. But the fact that the computer can pick up on this makes it that little bit easier, and even would allow you to, I suppose, test yourself from a student's point of view, or even from an owner's point of view, and look at them and, you know, think, okay, they look annoyed, and then take the image of them and test it and see, are they annoyed? And like Nancy mentioned, there was alarmed, annoyed, curious, and relaxed. In the alarmed, just a couple of the signs were eyes open with little or no sclera visible, ears stiffly forward, nose, open nostrils, usually slightly tense mouth or muzzle, and then their neck is going to be above the parallel or held higher than the back. Annoyed then was open eyes, perhaps a little bit of sclera visible, and ears are stiffly back or pinned back close to their head, nostrils slightly closed, that tense mouth and muzzle, and the neck can be parallel or above parallel. Curious then, so eyes are open with little or no sclera, ears pointing forward or to the sides, but they're relaxed. Nose, we've got open nostrils, relaxed mouth, relaxed muzzle. And then with the neck, it can be parallel to the ground, but it can be slightly below or above. It depends on what's piquing that curiosity. And then finally, in the relaxed stage, eyes are partially to mostly shut, ears are relaxed, opening, pointing to the sides, nose relaxed, mouth relaxed, approximately parallel or below for their neck. So that kind of real dozy look. I love when I see horses doing that, that they're just completely chilled out. My mare sometimes even just drops that bottom lip a little bit, and it's just hanging a little bit lower.
Yeah.
So it is something, it's just so true that something over time becomes really natural to you, looking at them and being able to pick up on that. And same with your dogs or your cats in your house. Like, you, after time, you look at them and you know what they want, or you know what's wrong, and you know the expression on their face. But I think this does have many applications. And as well, I think, you know, from the veterinary point of view, again, where you have a number of horses that might be coming through the hospital, or if you're calling out to a yard, or, you know, there's just lots of applications where owners can kind of give you that extra information. So, you know, if an owner's not sure, they could maybe use this app and then also provide you with that. I think we've talked about this before in the past, you know, having as much information as possible. The more data you have when you contact the vet, the better. You're able to tell them more. They're able to kind of make a better judgment about whether they need to come out to you, or, you know, what treatment might be necessary.
Yeah, and they did mention that one way they thought they could improve this process is to integrate sensors that could measure heart rate and temperature. Mm-hmm. And to do that with an iPhone or an Android through the sound. So that would be really, really helpful, because you would then be able to tell the difference between relaxation and then being in pain, because you're going to get a higher heart rate, but you're also would be able to know what's normal and what isn't. So yeah, I think this does have a real future in it. I think it's would really be useful in a racing barn that mm-hmm. you have to say take a horse to another track, but you keep an eye on one that tends to get intestinal upsets. You could train the groom to keep a close eye on this horse, use this app while I'm gone. And I can see it being used in commercial operations as well.
Mm-hmm. I think this was really cool, and it's exciting that there actually is an app that people can download and play around with. They're not connected, the research paper and the app that me and Nancy have mentioned, they're two different universities. The research was it in MIT, Nancy?
Yes, the paper I picked was out of MIT. And then I started searching for an app, and this was the app that was available to use right now, and it is out of Utrecht University in the Netherlands. So, Kate, you actually looked into it, and it has the ability to store what you feed, and a lot of course information file can go along with it. And I have to be honest, I never heard of this app before.
If you're using the aspects of the app where you're tracking the feeding regime, the exercise, turnout, medical information, you can, well, I suppose what you could really do that I thought was interesting is take this and map it yourself. So it depends on how graphically inclined you are, but you could look at, okay, you know, for instance, we've got a horse that's a bit more colicky, so we're going to look at feeding regime and a turnout. And we're going to take these images and do a motion measurement or pain recognition measurement and see, is it a certain peak that we're getting that's triggering that pain? Or the same when we're increasing exercise, or you've got a horse that's been on box rest and you're increasing turnout in the recovery aspect. And you can map and see, because it can be just such a subtle difference, but the AI is able to pick it up. So I think from that point of view, again, it's just a really interesting aspect of it and a great addition that's in this app where you can track that other information, because we know with horses, like, it's the holistic view. It's not just one thing. We need to take a number of factors into account each time. So that, again, appealed to me. But as I said, I haven't used the app yet. I'm eager to have a bit of a play around with it and see how it works. But it also means, if you are tech inclined, there's definitely opening marketing spaces in these areas, you know, for these types of apps to be created. And with the availability of so many online images, it is just a lot of work, because the image has to be labeled when it's fed into the machine for the machine to learn how to identify it. But once we have that done, I mean, it would just be so useful. I think in the paper too, Nancy, they mentioned, oh, I'm not sure where it is, but they mentioned something about doing like a community sourcing, or where, you know, you could get more images input into it. Maybe like you had mentioned with Epona Mind, where people can feed into the database, and then that would just make it that more robust.
Yeah, and that's what this Dr. Van Loon of Utrecht, he said he hopes that they can get tens of thousands of photos, because that's going to put you into the expert realm of the machine being able to repeatedly make the correct call on these expressions. And then also I wanted to say, I will put a link to the EPWA app on our homepage. And I'll also put a link to the web-based interactive training program. So they put you through a training program so you're able to use the app effectively. And I will also say that the app is a product of their charitable funding through Utrecht's faculty dedicated charity fund. And it's called Friends of Vet Med. And so it runs on individual donations, and also the app is nonprofit and free to download. So don't be afraid to go into it. I'll put the Android link and the Apple link, and then, you know, let us know what you think. And if you think this is something for the future that horse owners or cattle owners or, you know, livestock people in general will take the time to learn.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Nancy, for suggesting this one. It was a great read.
I love this kind of stuff, though, you know. But yes. Anyway, all right. Thanks, Kate. We'll see you again next week.
Or thanks so much, Nancy.
We'll listen to you again next week.
Yeah, I know. I always feel like we see each other when we record.
I know. All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Nancy. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.